Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by our branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.
Keith, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, very good. And first I want to talk about the book. The Inside Game is now in paperback, and it's a lot of fun. Bad calls, strange moves, and what baseball behavior teaches us about ourselves. Maybe one of the best little subtitles I've ever seen on the cover of a baseball book, because I'd love to learn about myself and behavior in baseball. Tell us about the book and how it came about in a couple of the chapters in there.
Sure. So the idea was I had a lot of friends in front offices in baseball who told me they were reading about better decision-making, how to improve your decision-making, reading books from the worlds of psychology and economics. And so I got interested. I just feel like if I'm covering an industry, I got to try to think like they think. And as I read about it, too, I realized, you know, this stuff is really useful. It'll be useful for anybody. It doesn't matter if you're covering baseball or working in sports at all. Just be useful in everyone's lives. And had the idea to take what I learned from reading those books, talking to executives, talking to people who, academics who worked in the field, and use baseball examples to explain them. So explaining things like confirmation bias or availability bias that lead us to make bad decisions every day. And I always emphasize, it doesn't matter how smart you are, it doesn't matter where you went to school, if you are human, you can fall prey to these biases. And they just affect everybody. The key is to know they exist so that you can change the way you make those decisions. And I try to explain that too and use the academic research to say, okay, if you're confronted maybe with this bias, here's what you do to fix it.
Well, what about the robot umpires? That's sort of chapter one. How do you deal with that? Because it almost implies that umpires sort of have a bias.
They do. They do. And that doesn't mean, you know, a lot of people, I think, hear that and think it's, oh, I'm saying that the umpires are bad or that they have some kind of, you know, personality flaw. But that's not what this is. Umpires are prey to, like, because they're like every other person, they're prey to things like anchoring bias. And what we know from the data is that when the last pitch was called a ball, umpires are more likely to call the next pitch if it's on the board, or more likely to call it a strike. If the count is 3-0, the umpires are much more likely to call the next pitch a strike than a ball. So what that means, even though you know and I know, and if you asked an umpire just, you know, and having coffee with him, you asked him, hey, does the count matter for whether a pitch is a ball or a strike? Of course we'd all say no. But when it's actually in the situation, the umpire has to make that decision in a very short period of time. It turns out that the count does matter. And if the pitcher is behind in the count, he's more likely to get the next pitch called his way. If the pitcher is ahead in the count, he's less likely to get the next pitch called his way. And I use that as the argument for automated calling of balls and strikes, which I think we're going to see very soon anyway, to say, look, umpires are human. And in a fraction of a second, they can't get around this bias. It's just hardwired into our brains. But a computerized strike zone, does not have that bias. And if the computer still isn't perfect, at least it doesn't have that particular bias working against it.
Boy, interesting. The book is The Inside Game. I got a copy from David at the Book Tree in Montclair, and I know David has it up there as well. So it's right prominently displayed in the window. Give us another chapter that you wrote about in the book.
So I talk a lot about, you mentioned the draft. Draft has been part of what I've covered in my job for 15 years, and I worked a lot on draft analytics when I worked for the Blue Jays before that. And one thing that people have known for a very long time, that high school pitchers are the riskiest players in the draft and the riskiest players, especially to take in the first round. And it turns out the data bears that out. If you take a high school pitcher in the first round, you're less likely to get a big leaguer and less likely to get a good big leaguer than if you take any type of college player or if you take a high school position player. And why do people still do it? Well, they say, relevant to your market, they say, well, Madison Bumgarner was a high school pitcher taken in the first round. If you want Madison Bumgarner, you got to take a high school pitcher in the first round. And that is an example of something called survivorship bias, where we remember the guys who survived. We remember the Madison Bumgarners and the Clayton Kershaws because they made it through. What you don't remember is that for every Madison Bumgarner, there are probably 4 or 5 high school pitchers taken in the first round who looked just like Madison Bumgarner did in high school and who blew out or weren't good enough or broke down. Something went wrong on the way to the majors. So if you just think of the ones you remember because they made it through the whole gauntlet of the minor leagues, got to the big leagues, got good, you're not looking at the whole set of data. You're not looking at all the high school pitchers and saying, what's the success rate of everybody? And yeah, it turns out some of them do become stars, but the majority of them never even reach the big leagues.
Well, interesting, because the Giants have this Kyle Harrison out of De La Salle High School in the Bay Area, and they love him, and he's going to be in low A at San Jose. But high school pitcher, I'm glad you brought that. Go ahead.
They did do one thing interesting, though. He wasn't their first-round pick. They took a college catcher. So one of the things I argue is, you still want to take the high school pitcher. Great. Don't do it in the first round. Okay. In the first round, take a guy who's less risky, and then just use your money, which is basically what they did. They went to Kyle Harrison and said, we'll pay you first-round money, but we won't give you the first-round pick. We want to use that on somebody who's more certain. To me, that is absolutely the best way to draft if you want to go get high school pitchers.
Very good. Good point. Good point. Keith Law is with us. The Inside Game is the name of the book. I get enamored with these chapters as I go through the book, but we've always done it this way before. How about that one?
Yes, there are a lot of that's essentially the argument or appeal to tradition, which is, well, we've always done it this way, and therefore it must be right. And of course, that comes up in baseball. That ultimately could support a million things that are done wrong in baseball, from why we still play so much small ball, why teams bunt so often, why we develop players certain ways, why we still see teams, fewer now, but still see them managing to the same rule. So much of that is just because it is the way that we've always gone about things, and those do feel more comfortable to us, but it doesn't make them right. And one of the things we should be doing is reexamining some of that conventional wisdom. The things that we've always done, we should be at least willing to open them up. Have somebody, whether it's a business or you're working for a team, you're covering a team, somebody has to be willing to question those assumptions and make sure that the data back them up, and that even if they were true 20 years ago, maybe they aren't so true today.
Well, that's sure happening in baseball, I'll tell you that, with all the rule changes and everything else. But let's transition into the amateur draft that's coming up. Anything unusual about the draft and, signings or what mandatory things or anything like that?
Well, the draft class, you can probably hear, I'm at a game right now waiting for a high school pitcher here in New Jersey to pitch. There's about 20-odd scouts here, a couple of directors here. This is the worst year for prospects in California that I can ever remember. And I've been doing this. If you go back to the Blue Jays, this is my 20th draft. Yeah, this would be my 20th draft. Apparently I'm getting older. And it's also the best year in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, which happens to be where I live. So I'm very fortunate. I live in Delaware, and there are probably 8 guys within 2 hours of me who are going to go in the top 3 rounds of the draft. That just never happened. In California, that's ordinary. Here, that is extraordinary. And I've been very lucky because I also haven't been flying yet, but I've had plenty of guys to go out and see myself, because the talent in this area of the country, especially high school talent, is, I think, it's, like I said, it's the best it's been in 2 decades.
Hmm. What about the kids from Vanderbilt, looking at the college players? Of course, they're going to be very prominently displayed in that first round. What about the Vanderbilt guys?
So I'm hoping to go see them myself next weekend. That would be my first flight in over a year. And I still, going back to the offseason, I've had Jack Leiter, who is actually their Saturday starter, son of longtime big leaguer Al Leiter. I've had him ranked as the best prospect in the draft. I would still take him first among those two Vanderbilt starters, but they're both going to go in the top 3 or 4 picks, I believe. Leiter, to me, he's got the better fastball. It plays more. It gets more swings and misses on it. And I think he's a better overall pitcher, just in terms of feel for pitching, present and future command, ability to set up hitters. That is not to say there's anything wrong with Kumar Rocker. He's their Friday night starter. He's bigger, stronger. He might be more durable. He definitely has the better slider right now. He probably has the better breaking ball of the two pitchers. And you know what? There are going to be teams that say, no, we're willing to bet long-term on the kid who's maybe stronger or bigger and the better athlete, rather than taking the guy who's a little more polished today, because we want to bet on maybe having a little more upside, a little long-term ceiling. Like I said, I like Jack Leiter a lot, but I don't know that Jack Leiter's ever a number one starter. I think you're just getting a lot of certainty there because of how good he is today.
Okay. All right. Keith Law with us. High school, who's the top high school prospect?
It's probably Jordan Lawler, who is a high school shortstop in the Dallas area. He gets compared a lot to Bobby Witt Jr., who was a high school shortstop in the Dallas area, taken just 2 years ago. Both kids were a little bit old for high school seniors. They're 19 on draft day. Witt Jr. was. Lawler will be this year. He'll turn 19 before the draft. But very, very toolsy. Chance for some power, can run, can really play shortstop, can throw. And in both cases, the big question scouts had on them is how good of a hitter will they be. Like, they're really good hitters right now for facing high school competition. Witt ran into some trouble because he just didn't see a lot of good quality pitching in high school. But teams tend to still like the upside. If you're taking a high school position player in the top five, top 10 picks, you roll the dice on a kid who's really athletic and has a lot of tools.
How are all the protocols treating you? Can you get into a game and watch a game? Do you wear a mask? What's it going to be like going into the minor leagues next week?
So, yeah, that's a great question. I have two masks that are in my pocket right now because I'm not standing near anyone. But I am still double masking myself. Most places are requiring them. Enforcement's pretty lax. When the minor leagues start, so this is like at the college level, one time I couldn't get in at all because they didn't have room for me. A couple times they've had room, but they've been limiting attendance. When the minor leagues start on Monday, I know the Wilmington Blue Rocks in Delaware, they're only allowing 25% capacity. So I can get in, obviously, because I'm there for work, but they're just not going to be a lot of people in the ballpark. And my guess is that'll probably hold for a couple of weeks, but I'm thinking by June or so, we'll start to see things open up. Hopefully, as more people are getting vaccinated, which further causes new case rates to drop, and we'll see more clubs, even in the sort of more conservative areas of the country with COVID protocols, we'll see more teams open up so that we get more fans in the stands, which I would love to see myself.
Hope so. Hey, what's the date of the draft?
July 11th. So it has been moved back about a month and is going to happen during All-Star Week. It is the Futures game is going to be it's Sunday afternoon. The All-Star game will be that Tuesday. And then Sunday night, they will start the draft with rounds 1 and 2 and continue it on Monday afternoon.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I'll let you go after this, but I watched some of the NFL draft because out here it was such a big deal for the 49ers. And I realize it's a different sport, and I realize the people being drafted step right in and get play right away. But, boy, the NFL, boy, they know how to do the draft. And I know baseball's trying, but it's two different sports.
Yes, that is. I agree with all of that. It is. It's really hard for MLB, especially because fans just don't know these players. If this year's draft, if you asked even the most serious baseball fans, they might know the names of the two Vanderbilt kids, and that's probably it. And that's too bad. A lot of these other kids, they're going to be stars, but some of them are just not as famous because it's college baseball, not football. A lot of it is because we draft high school players, and they're just less famous, and they're further away from the majors. So MLB is trying. I hope that more people watch now that it's going to be on its own night, Sunday night for the All-Star game. No other games happening at the same time. But I also recognize it's going to be really hard to get close to what the NFL draft does because our players aren't as famous coming in.
Boy, great to have you with us, Keith. Thanks for taking the time. Enjoy the Blue Rocks and everything else there, and we'll definitely catch up with you before the draft. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right. That is Keith Law. The book that we talked about is called The Inside Game by Keith, and you can get that, as I said, independent bookstores up in Montclair. David's got it at the Book Tree, and I'm sure all the normal outlets.
Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.